It's an amazing parasha reading. I love that one. And to think that Yosef, he lived 110 years. And that's, you know, something that we all strive to live long lives. And so that's what I'm going to share about today. So I'm going to have a look at go back. What I'm going to speak about is Yehovah wants you to both be blessed and to retain your blessing. And we here on the Gold Coast have been through a devastating storm of destruction in this last week. I believe that we who lived through it were blessed and that the Yah's hand of protection wasn't on each and every one of us. And today I want to show you through Yosef and Yehoshua, or Joshua, that Yah not only wants you to be blessed, but also to retain your blessing. Yosef and Yehoshua had two separate jobs to do to bring about the blessings for the Hebrews. Yosef was associated with the promise to gain the land. In Bereshit Genesis chapter 50, which we read today, it said in 24 and 26, Yosef said to his brothers, "I am dying, but Elohim will surely remember you and bring you out of this land to the land which he swore Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov." Then Yosef took an oath from the sons of Israel, "Elohim will surely remember you, and you are to carry my bones up from here." So Yosef died at the age of 110, and they embalmed him and put him in a coffin in Egypt. Yosef lived 110, Moshe lived 120, but Yehoshua, who followed Moshe, lived to 110. In Yehoshua or Joshua, chapter 1, verses 1 to 6, it says, "After the death of Moshe, the servant of Yehovah, Yehovah said to Yehoshua the son of Nun, Moshe's assistant, 'Moshe, my servant, is dead. So now get up and cross over this Yarden, you and all the people, to the land I'm giving you to them, the people of giving to them, the people of Israel. I'm giving you every place you will step on with the sole of your foot, as I said to Moshe, all the land of the desert and the Lebanon, to the great river, the Euphrates River, all the land of the Hittite and the great sea to the west will be your territory. Not one will be able to withstand you as long as you live. Just as I was with Moshe, so I will be with you. I will neither fail you nor abandon you. Be strong, be bold, for you will cause this people to inherit the land I swore to their fathers I would give them." So Yehoshua's job was different to that of Yosef's. Yosef's job was to gain the land. Yehoshua was associated with the promise to defeat the enemies so they could get into the land. In Yehoshua chapter 24 and verses 29 to 30, it says, "After this, Yehoshua the son of Nun, the servant of Yehovah, died, and he was 110 years old. They buried him on his property in Timnat Serach, which is in the hills of Ephraim, north of Mount Gaash." And in verses 32 it says, "The bones of Yosef, which the people of Israel had brought up from Egypt, they buried in Shechem, in the parcel of land which Yaakov had bought for the sons of Hamor, the sons of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and they became a possession of the descendants of Yosef." Both Yosef and Yehoshua were 110 years old when they died. Yosef died, as I said, at 110 in Egypt, about 200 years before Yehoshua. But he refused to be buried upon his death. He swore that Yehovah would give them the promised land, and then they must take his bones from Egypt when they would and into the land when they would enter it, and bury them in Canaan when they did indeed inherit it and actually enjoy it. Yehoshua was later used by Yah to actually enter the land and deal with the enemies. Yosef was promised the return to the blessing of the land. Yehoshua was promised the defeat of the enemies there. But Yah will not grant them all at the one time. There is time for blessings, and there is time, and the times coincide with your ability to retain those blessings. Yeshua healed people, and he wanted them to retain their healing. In John chapter 5, verses 5 to 9, it says, one man was there that was at the water who had been ill for 38 years. Yeshua, seeing this man and knowing that he had been there a long time, said to him, do you want to be healed? And the sick man answered, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is disturbed. And while I'm trying to get there, someone goes in ahead of me. Yeshua said to him, get up, pick up your mat and walk. Immediately the man was healed, and he picked up his mat and walked. Now that day was a Shabbat, but the healing needed to be retained. It was okay being healed, but he had to retain his healing. So further down in Yochanan chapter 5 in verse 14, it says, afterwards Yeshua found him in the temple court and said to him, see, you are well. Now stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. Obviously, his sin was what got him crippled to begin with. Sometimes our problems are simply caused by our own foolishness. And when Yah heals you or solves your problem, he does not want you to fall back into it again. So in this man's case, Yeshua told him not to sin again, lest a worse thing had come. It is like getting a devil cast out and allowing itself to, and seven more even worse, to return and make the last state worse than the first. Yah wants to give salvation to this world. He also wants us to retain our salvation. He wants us to stay saved. I actually praised Yah this week on the 72nd anniversary of my own salvation that was fulfilled. The enemies must be dealt with. And the next verse is a prophecy saying that Yah was going to save mankind. The very woman whom the adversary deceived would have a seed who would bring us salvation. And we find that in Bereshit chapter 3, verses 14 to 15. Yehovah Elohim said to the servant, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all livestock and wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and eat dust as long as you live. I will put animosity between you and the woman, and between your descendant and her descendants. He will bruise your head, and you will bruise his heel. Along with this salvation would be the bruising of the adversary's head. The serpent who caused the fall of mankind would be dealt with at the same time Yah would bring mankind back into a relationship from which mankind fell due to that serpent. In other words, Yah wants to bless you, and he wants and bring back your blessings that you deserve. But he also wants you to retain your blessings. In Bereshit chapter 15, verses 13 to 16, it says, Yehovah said to Avram, know this for certain, your descendants will be foreigners of a land that is not theirs. They will be slaves and held in oppression there for 400 years. But I will also judge that nation, the one that makes them slaves. Afterwards they will leave with many possessions. As for you, you will join your ancestors in peace and be buried at a good old age. Only in the fourth generation will your descendants come back here, because only then will the Emory be ripe for punishment. Yehovah always wanted to bless Avraham's family with the land. But something had to occur first before he would bless them that way. Wickedness in the land had to be dealt with. The Emory were there. They had to be judged. and only at a certain point. It's as though at the apex of the devil's power, when the wickedness of the Emory would be full, Yah would both give Israel the land and also smash the Emory. Why? Because the Emory were a wicked people. Should Israel get that land? They could later lose it by yielding to the sin of the Emory. It would be like being cast out of the Garden of Eden all over again. Yehovah had this promise passed down for the generations. It went from Avraham to Yitzhak and then to Yaakov or Israel. In Bereshit 28 and verse 15, it says, "Look, I am with you. I will guard you wherever you go. I will bring you back to this land because I won't leave you until I have done what I have promised you." And in Bereshit 46, chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "Not only will I go down with you to Egypt, but I will also bring you back here again after Yosef has closed your eyes." And in 48, so he said that to Yaakov. And then he says to Yosef in Bereshit 48, 21, Israel then said to Yosef, "You see, I am dying, but Elohim will be with you and I will bring you back to the land of your ancestors." And to the people of Israel, he said in Bereshit chapter 50 and verse 24, Yosef said to his brothers, "I am dying, but Elohim will surely remember you and bring you up out of this land to the land which he swore Avraham, Yitzhak and Yaakov." It took 400 years for them to get out of that slavery. That was a long time, even though they called it four generations. And a generation is only about 40 years today. In those days, a generation would be about 100 years. After Yehoshua defeated the sinners, he had removed the people who worshipped the idols and committed grave iniquity. Yehovah did all that he could to ensure Israel keep their land and be faithful. But notice Yehoshua's words in Yehoshua, Joshua 24, verses 12 to 25. It says, "I send a hornet ahead of you, driving them out ahead of you, the two kings of the Emory. It wasn't your sword or your bow. Then I gave you a land where you had not worked and cities you had not built, and you live there. You eat fruit from vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. Therefore fear Yehovah and serve him truly and sincerely. Put away the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt or Mitzrayim and serve Yehovah. If it seems bad to you to serve Yehovah, then choose today whom you are going to serve. Will it be the gods your ancestors served beyond the river, or the gods of the Emory in whose land you are living? As for me and my household, we will serve Yehovah." And the people answered, "Far be it for us that we should abandon Yehovah to serve other gods, because it is Yehovah our Elohim who brought us and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from a life of slavery, and did those great signs before our eyes, and preserved us all along the way, and we travelled, and among all the peoples we passed through. And it was Yehovah who drove out ahead of us all the peoples, the Emory living in the land. Therefore we too will serve Yehovah, for he is our Elohim." And Yehoshua said to the people, "You can't serve Yehovah, because he is a holy Elohim, a jealous Elohim. Even he will not forgive your crimes and sins. If you abandon Yehovah and serve foreign gods, he will turn, doing you harm and destroying you after he has done you good." But the people said to Yehoshua, "No, we will serve Yehovah." And Yehoshua said to the people, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen Yehovah to serve him." They answered, "We are witnesses." Now Yehoshua urged, "Put away the foreign gods you have among you and turn your hearts to Yehovah, the Elohim of Israel." And the people answered Yehoshua, "We will serve Yehovah, our Elohim. we will pay attention to what he says. So Yehoshua made a covenant with the people that day, laying down for them laws and rulings there in Shechem. In Shechem, he made people promise not to go after the gods of the Emori, after the Emori had already been defeated. He said to the Emori, of the very people Yehovah told Avram he must deal with, which was the reason Israel would go into the land, yet were not dealt with at the time. All that was left for the people themselves to say, they would serve Yehovah and not turn to idols. Yehovah rid the land of all the idolaters who would tempt them. And now he said to the people themselves that they must keep themselves from idols. It's all over with. Because idol worship was very rampant in those days. I mean, Abraham's father was an idol maker. So he knew exactly what idols were and how it had travelled down the ages. So Yehoshua said the enemies themselves are gone, but look where Yosef, the promised man for the land, was buried. Yehoshua, in Yehoshua 24:32, it says, the bones of Yosef, which the people of Israel had brought up from Egypt, they buried in Shechem, in the parcel of ground which Yaakov had bought for the sons of Hamor, the sons of Shechem, from 100 pieces of silver, and they became a possession of the descendants of Yosef. The very place that Yosef was buried was the place Yehoshua made the people realize that they must keep their land, promised by Yosef, by staying away from false gods. Don't ever say, the devil made me do it, because the devilish Emori were gone. If you fail now, it's because it's your own fault. But Yah has given you all the need to stay in the land and not be kicked out by removing the idolaters. Yehovah told the serpent that he would have seed. Yehovah would have offspring, a generation that would come from him. And the seed of the serpent would rise up against the seed of the woman. Yeshua is the seed of the woman. And Yeshua's day, there were indications of the seed of the serpent. In John chapter 8 and verse 13, it says, so the Perashim said to him, now you are testifying on your own behalf. Your testimony is not valid. And further down in 31:33, so Yeshua said to the Judeans who had trusted him, if you obey what I say, then you'll really be my Talmudim. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered, we are the seed of Abraham, and we have never been slaves to anyone. So what do you mean by saying you will be set free? They obviously had short memories, that their ancestors had been in captivity for 400 years. In Yochanan chapter 8 and verse 37 to 44, it says, I know you are the seed of Abraham, yet you are out to kill me because what I am saying makes no headway in you. I say what my father has shown me, you do what your father has told you. They answered him, our father is Abraham. And Yeshua replied, if you are the children of Abraham, then do the things Abraham did. As it is, you are out to kill me, a man who has told you the truth when I heard from Elohim. Abraham did nothing like that. You are doing the things your father does. We are not illegitimate children, they said to him. We only have one father, Yehovah. Yeshua replied to them, if Yehovah were your father, you would love me, because I came out from Yehovah, and now I have arrived here. I did not come on my own. He sent me. Why don't you understand what I am saying? It's because you don't listen to my message, or you can't bear to listen to my message. You belong to your father, Satan, and you want to carry out your father's desires. From the start, he was a murderer, and he never stood by the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he tells a lie, he is speaking in character, because he is a liar, indeed the inventor of the lie. We read that the serpent's seed is not speaking about the people of a certain lineage. Yeshua said the perishim on the Jews who doubted him were definitely the seed of Abraham, but Yeshua said their deeds caused them to be spiritually the seed of another. He said they were of their father Hasatan. Abraham would not do what these folks were doing. And this is why they sought to kill Yeshua. They wanted to kill him because he was telling them not to obey their own doctrines, not to follow and put their own doctrines onto other people, but to observe the Torah. That's what that whole passage is about. And that's why they wanted to kill Yeshua, because he wanted to bring them back to observing Torah and getting away from the doctrines of man. And this is why he was saying they were following their father, Hasatan, because he was the one that was bringing the doctrines of man into their religious activities. Yeshua even called them a generation or offspring of Hasatan when he speaks of them in Matityahu or Matthew 23 and verse 33. He says, "You snakes, sons of snakes, how can you escape being condemned from Gehinnom, which is hell?" He said to this generation of snakes, vipers or serpents, whatever you want to call them, they were the seed of the serpent. So notice that the seed of the serpent would be at enmity against the seed of the woman, Yeshua. And these wicked people would be hit by the work of Jehovah. And the stake would occur around the same time. And the scriptures say the serpent would have his head bruised when the seed of the woman would face the seed of the serpent. And what is interesting is that when Yeshua came to the land of Israel, and Jerusalem in particular, was overrun with religious corruption. The religious leaders were telling the people to do one thing and doing something different themselves. Yeshua told the Talmudim, or his disciples, not to do what the Purushim said and not to do what they did themselves. I believe this is also a message to the people of the world today in relation to the rulers of what they are pushing with their global agendas. We have to be careful. We have to make sure we stand up to our own principles, keep our own principles, and don't let any man prevent us from doing Jehovah's work. The serpent's power had risen to such an extent that the religious leaders were considered the seed of the serpent. And at the head of the devil's power over Jerusalem, Jehovah's very own people, Yeshua came to bring salvation. Notice that salvation is foretold in Bereshit Genesis 3:15. It is claimed as the first prophecy of the coming of Yeshua the Messiah by calling him the seed of the woman to bring salvation. Bereshit Genesis 3:15 associates the destruction of the devil's power with the salvation of mankind. And it was spoken in the Garden of Eden, where the serpent first succeeded in throwing mankind into sin. Jehovah spoke to Abraham about his family inheriting the land of promise. But Yah also said that Abraham's people would go into captivity that was dark, which they did for 400 years. They would be outside the land of promise. And Yah said he would withhold the actual inheritance of the land away from Abraham's people until a certain point. The point would be when the iniquity of the Emory would be fulfilled. Mankind needed salvation, and Yah wanted to bring salvation to us. But he said the devil's power would first be allowed to rise to a certain degree. The devil's head would rise up, And because things are cyclical in scriptures and can happen more than once, I believe we are living in those times where Hasatan's power is raising his ugly head again at this time, with the global agendas that are going on, and we're being forced into obeying man's laws and man's ways, and we have to stand firm. We have to trust in Yah and look to him for all of our blessings. When Yeshua spoke to the offspring of the vipers, the same chapter says that the generation filled the cup of their fathers in Matityahu 23, verses 32 and 33. It says, "Go ahead then, finish what your fathers started. You snakes, sons of snakes, how can you escape being condemned in Gehinnom?" And in verses 34 and 35, it goes on to say, "Therefore I am sending you prophets and sages and Torah teachers. Some of them you will kill. Indeed, you will have them executed on stakes as criminals. Some you will flog in your synagogues and pursue from town to town. And so on, so on you will fall the guilt, so on you will fall the guilt of all the innocent blood that has been shed on the earth, from the blood of the innocent Havel to the blood of Zechariah ben Berechiah, whom you murdered between the altar, the temple and the altar." Yeshua's crucifixion, which would be salvation for mankind, would also mark the point at that the wickedness of the serpent's seed would be filled. But their greatest form of sin in crucifying Yeshua would also be Yeshua's greatest destruction against hell. Yeshua wants you to retain your salvation, and therefore he did not bring it until he was also at the same time bruised the serpent's head. When Yehovah brings you into a blessing he has promised, he is going to coincide that with something else that must be fulfilled. It's like killing two birds with the one stone, so to speak. Yehovah was going to give Israel the land at the point when the iniquity of the Emory has come to its fullness. And through giving Israel the land, the Emory at the same time would be finally judged and once and for all defeated. Yeshua did not give salvation until the head of the serpent was to be bruised. Israel did not inherit Canaan until the Emory were dealt a final blow at the same time. Along with Joseph's bones, not meant to be buried in Canaan until the land was inherited, Yehoshua also had to die as the one who defeated all the enemies in Israel in the land. Three burials occurred at the end in the book of Joshua, or Yehoshua. There were the burials of Joseph's bones. Joseph said they were not to bury him until they took his bones back to the promised land, foretold to Abraham, and when they could actually inherit the land. Yehoshua's burial, the bones of the one who took them in. Eleazar was buried and indicated so due to his involvement in distributing the land to the tribes. Yehoshua was the one who destroyed the wicked people of the land. Yehoshua was Jehovah's means to destroy the Emory, who Yah said was yet to rise to a certain degree of sin before he would judge them. Yehoshua was the method and the means to destroy the enemy, along with the promise to take the land, then was to the promise to defeat the enemies. Yehoshua was always associated with defeating enemies. The promise to inherit the land and get Israel back into Canaan was fulfilled, but it was also associated with destroying the works of the enemies who had plagued the land since Abraham's time and had to be dealt with only when their iniquity came to a fullness. The bones of Joseph, who lived 110 years, representing the promise of the land, met and were buried at the same time as the bones of Yehoshua, who lived 110 years, were buried. After both the land was theirs and the enemy of the land were dealt with. Yehovah wants you to be blessed, and he wants you to keep the blessing. So he does not simply want to return a blessing to you that was lost by mankind. But when he returns the blessing to you, he wants to deal with the culprit who caused you to lose your blessings to begin with. He wants you to ensure that you keep your blessing. And that's the most important thing. Some of us are waiting for blessings to happen and they're not happening and can't work out why. And that's because the culprit has to be dealt with first. And I know sometimes that can be hard to wait for. But that's how Yah does things. Yah wants to bless you, but he also wants to bruise the devil's head at the precise moment that will shatter the enemy's entire system so that he cannot drag you down ever, ever again. I know that because there are many of you who need a blessing at the moment and it still hasn't come. I believe the reason the blessing is withheld is because Yah is associating its timing with the work that needs to be done to deal with the very thing that caused you to lose your blessing in the first place. Now, it's not that he doesn't want to bless you. It's just that the timing is not right at the moment. Do not give up believing for your blessing. I am personally believing in 2024 to be a year of revelation, a year of taking back everything that the enemy has stolen over the past 3 to 4 years. It's time to claim it back. It's time to say enough is enough. I also think the results of this last week have proven that Yah has his hand on you and has protected you, which is a sign that he knows what you are going through and he will perfect it when the right time comes for you to receive your full blessing. And I was going to say, are there any questions? But there's hardly anyone here. So are there any questions for anyone that is here? Okay, we have to come to this mic here. He wants to get out of the way of the camera.
Sorry. Can't take up too much of it. Is it up? Is it on? I just wanted to say on that removing your blessings thing, I had an experience lately where I was sort of getting really depressed about the war and everything and thinking, what's the point of any of this if we're in the end times, and what's the point of carrying on? And I thought, I'm just going to eat whatever I want until I pop, and then I might die soon. And I really felt, yeah, I say, well, that's going to be really painful on your feet. and it was. So, you know, I think a lot of the trials that we go through give us a bit of an attitude adjustment, and teach us a bit of a lesson as well. As gently as it can be, I think Yah will give it to us, but it's not always gentle.
It's not, but we can learn through it, and that's the most important part, is that we learn through it when we feel things that he's, you know, our blessing's been taken from us, is to be able to realise that Yah is in control. He does want to bless us. He's promised he will bless us. But everything has to be right. There's a reason the blessing is always removed. Sometimes we have to look at our own motives. Sometimes it could be somebody else's motives that have been put on us. And Yah might have to deal with that other person before our blessing can be fulfilled. So we don't always have control of when our blessings are fulfilled. But Yah knows, as I've said so many times, he knows the end from the beginning. He loves you. You are his chosen children because he chose you before you chose him. And that's the most important thing to remember. And he only wants you to have the fullest of blessings. And we have to get everything else out the road first and put our complete trust in him, and put him first in our life. If he is first, then nothing can come over him, over the top of him. Nothing can become an idol. And, you know, you don't have to have a literal something that you can hold on to as an idol. An idol can be all sorts of things. Anything that we put before Yah, that's an idol, in my opinion. So we have to make sure that Yah is first and foremost in our lives. What's the first thing you do when you wake up of a morning? Is it to thank him that you've woken up that day? Thank him for what you've got, he's got ahead for you that day? You know, if he's on your mind the first thing when you wake up and on your mind the last thing before you go to bed at night or go to sleep at night, you know there's no idols there. You don't have room for idols. And when you've got no idols in your life, that's when the blessings will flow. But we've got to let Yah deal with them. We can't deal with them ourselves. We've just got to trust him, let go and let Yah. We're not going to do the remembrance service today. We're going to go straight into the Aharonic blessing. So if Malachi could come out, that would be great.
Yevarekika, Yehovah Yishmereka, Yeh Yehovah Panavaleka Viachanika, Isa Yehovah Panavaleka Viasamleka Shalom.
May Yehovah bless you and keep you. May Yehovah make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May Yehovah lift up his face towards you and give you peace. Our Abba and Elohim of our fathers, we thank you for the joy and rest which you've enjoyed on this Shabbat day. May the coming week bring gladness and peace, health and achievement. And like the fragrance of the Besamim, we pray the days ahead bring sweetness to our lives and the lives of our loved ones. May the peace which we are enjoying this day linger until we gather for Shabbat next week. And now to the one who can keep you from falling and set you without defect and full of joy in the presence of his Shekinah. To Yehovah alone, our deliverer, through Yeshua the Messiah, our Adonai, be glory, majesty, power and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen. Amen. And we praise you, Yah, that no storm has come.
Yes.
So Shavua Tov, everyone.
Have a wonderful week and look forward to seeing you again next time around. Bless you.
Next week at the conference centre, at the
community centre.
Peace where the road is hard. In Sabbath prayers, we know you're there. So when the Sabbath candles fade, we go to work and we're not afraid. You will sustain us until that day when the candles burn again. Shavuot Tov, Shavuot Tov. Yeshua's Lord, and he loves us so. He'll keep his word, he will return. Shabbat Shalom. And Shavuot Tov. Like an oasis in the sand, you shelter us with your holy hand. The waters from your spring and praise you, mighty King. So pour the wine and pass the spice. Abdallah time is drawing nigh. We thank you, Lord, for the Sabbath time and all the peace it brings. Shavuot Tov, Shavuot Tov. Yeshua's Lord, and he loves us so. He'll keep his word, he will return. Shabbat Shalom and Shavuot Tov. We raise the cup of salvation. Shabbat Shalom and Shavuot Tov. Shavuot Tov, Shavuot Tov. Yeshua's Lord and He loves us so. He'll keep His word, He will return. Shabbat Shalom and Shavuot Tov. Shavuot, 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 Shavuot.